still dealing with our water emblems. Today we will be on page 50, talking about the river of God, and hopefully I can get to the dew. And Apostle is going to do the other water, and then we'll be somewhat out of the emblems. I'm taking our time in the emblems because the Holy Spirit still uses the emblems. And if the church doesn't really know how to recognize these emblems and how to benefit from them, then we're not going to go where God wants us to go. The first emblem is the river of God. And I'm going to do something different. I'm going to Ezekiel, the 47th chapter of Ezekiel, and talk about the river God from that point of view, the one that Ezekiel saw. And it's very important that we get into the river, and we're going to find out what this river will bring to us. And the church should really be knowledge of this river. When we talk about the river of God, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. This is how he manifests himself. It's through the river of God. We're going to do a little reading today. Let's read the 47th chapter of Ezekiel. Now, before I go into this book, let me give you a backdrop of Ezekiel's life. Where is Ezekiel right now in this chapter? He's in Babylon. He's in exile. He was taken with the rest of the Jews when it was siege and was taken to Babylon. He's in captivity with the rest of the Jews. Yes, God sent a prophet down there in captivity with the people that went in captivity so they could still get the word, the message of God. And this is Babylon, and Ezekiel needed this. He needed to see this. He needed this vision so he could be encouraged. I mean, it's kind of hard to encourage people when you're in Babylon, when you're in exile. Even the people that lived in Babylon, they had heard the children of God sing these Zion songs. They said, sing us a Zion song. They said, we can't do it. We're in a strange land. We can't sing it like, we can't sing it like we used to sing. We're in a strange land. And they couldn't even sing Zion songs there. Yes, they continued with life there, but when the enemy got you in captivity, Jesus said, I came to set the captive free. It's no fun in being in captivity. I don't care where you are. And here's the people of God is in Babylon in captivity. And here's the man of God, Ezekiel. Ezekiel is split in two halves. The first half, he's teaching and preaching and telling the people that Jerusalem will fall. The whole complete Jerusalem. Because see, they went down in section. And I guess the last one left there thought, well, it'll keep existing because somebody is here. But Ezekiel told, no, it's going to fall. The temple going to fall. All of it's going to fall because it's sin. And Jesus will rebuild it again. But we see here here's this prophet just prophesying and just telling. The first half, I said, it was about him telling them that it will fall. Now, this is the second half in the 47, 37. He's talking about restoration. He's talking about restoring the temple, restoration. And he's preaching restoration to a people that go, yeah, we've been in captivity a long time. We've been in this situation a long time. So he needed some encouragement from God that he can encourage the people. And this 47th chapter is going to bring a lot of encouragement to Ezekiel? Will he see it all? No, he won't see it all. But it's enough to strengthen him and encourage him and bring him to a place. What God is going to do for his people. And this is not just only, some people think the 47th chapter of Ezekiel is just for a millennium time. But it's not. I'm going to show you this river in the New Testament. Yeah. Praise God. Let's read. Afterwards, he brought me again into the door of the house. He's talking about the temple. And behold, now remember, the temple is destroyed. But this is a vision God is giving to him. And behold, water issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the water came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then he brought me out of the way of the gate northward and led me about the way without unto the other gate by the way looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went from eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the water. The water was what? Ankle deep. Now, one thing I want y'all to go away from here with this as you get into the water. Getting into the river water here is getting into the presence of God. And you can go as deep as you want to go. It's just up to you. Now, Ezekiel did not hesitate of going in this river with him. You know, some people, you know, God is trying to bring him. Let's clear this up. God is always present. Amen. But we are not always in his presence. A good example is Mary and Martha. Jesus himself was there. Right in their presence, Mary sat at his feet because she knew he was there. Martha was troubled and worried about many things. And she came to Jesus. She said, Jesus, don't you see all this that I'm doing and all this I got to do? I'm trying to make a meal for y'all, trying to do this. This is the man that fed 5,000, you know? And she worried about a meal, you know? And he said, Mary, you ain't just worried. He said, Martha, you're not just worried about a meal. Your worry goes deeper than that. You're worried about a lot of things. So he was present there, but she wasn't in his presence. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Okay, so we see Ezekiel here said when he measured here in this when he measured 1,000 cubits, and he said it was ankle deep. God is calling the church deeper, lot deeper, deeper. We're gonna see now. 1,000 deals with the it. He did this 1,000 four times, and 1,000 deals with the period of time. How many know 1,000 years is as one day? It's dealing with the periods of time, how the river was running. We see it's running here ankle deep. Oh my God. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water. Okay, the second time he measured 1,000. It's another period of time. And through the water was to my knees then. It was no longer ankle. We see him going deeper. How many think we need to just go a little deeper? God is calling the church deeper. Go deeper. Praise God. Okay, and again he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The water was to the loins. The water had gotten to the loins. Remember, the water represent who? Who the water represent? The river water represent. Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God. Okay? And he said, now it's loins deep. And remember, the 1,000 is different periods of time. I'm not going there to teach you each period of time. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the water was risen, water to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. He realized that this is just not no ordinary river. One of the things he recognized, two of the things he recognized here, okay, now I'm in swimming water. This is a different time. This is a different dispensation. And one of the things that he recognized in this water, it could not be passed over. You can't go over it. The more you get, the more it increases. The more it just keep increasing. And he was familiar with some of the rivers. All of the rivers you could pass over some kind of way. But this one, it was, he began to see, this is a spiritual river here. This is not just a normal river, but it's a spiritual river. And this is what the man that was measuring, and he said unto me, son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me back and caused me to return to the brink of the river. And he said unto me, son of man, have you seen this? Do you see this? Do you see what God is about to do? The river is getting momentum. It's building. It's building. It's building. And each time he went a little deeper. He went a little deeper. And let's see what this river was going to do. He brought him back to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and on the other side. And you know, in the scriptures, we're always, not always, but people have said that they are trees, especially in First Psalm, the book of Psalm, he said, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And what you, whatever you do will prosper, and your leaves won't wither when you plant it by the river. That's in the first Psalms. Trees like planted, okay? And then he said unto me, this is the 8th verse. These water issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and going down to which men brought forth in the sea. The water shall be healed. The water is going to be for healing, okay? And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. This river is going to bring life. See, we don't live life outside. You know, hold your head up just a minute, everybody. Look toward here. The world tell you life is out here, what you can see, touch, and feel. And if you can acquire this and if you can get that, you're living. But true life for the believer is on the inside. And he said here in the 8th verse that it was going to be for healing. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, in the 9th verse, which moveth, whatsoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish. Now he's talking about fish. Fish. What did God tell Peter about fish? He said, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. When he got that great catch, he said, Peter, You're getting a great catch. He had caught so much, he had to beckon his partner. I can't even deal with all this. He said, I'm teaching you how to fish for men. And when you see fish here, we're talking about souls. This great river is going to bring souls, plenty of souls. And I'm just going to, we saw that happen. I'm going to the New Testament now. And we saw it on the day of Pentecost, what Jesus told Peter, that you're going to get a great catch. And he stood up and preached a little simple sermon, telling them, you know, what Joel said and this, and just a little simple sermon. And 3,000 were saved. Don't y'all call that a great catch? Just a great little sermon. I mean, the sermon, you know, you're probably like, it'll probably be something you would go to sleep on. But it was done with an anointing. It was done from the river. That river was flowing out of him. But they had been drinking so many days, like Jesus told them, go wait. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm way past my time. But I got to go. Y'all just give me a few more minutes, because this river is going to appear again in the New Testament, the 7th chapter. Go with me to the 7th chapter of John. In the 7th chapter of John, we see this feast is taking place. And it's the Feast of the Tabernacle. And we see Jesus, when his disciples wanted to go, he told them no. He said, I'm not going to go right now. Surely I'm going to the Feast of Tabernacle, but they're seeking to kill me. They seeking to take my life. So I'm not going to go right now. I'm going to wait a couple of days and I'm going to the Feast of the Tabernacle. And that's the 7th chapter in the 37th verse. We see this river again. 7 and 37. In the last day of that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, if any man thirst, what you got to do? You got to thirst. You got to drink. Let him come unto me. In the last day of that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, you know, many people, when I hear pastors and people preach this, they was, you know, just saying Jesus just stood up and just, but he wasn't. What he was doing here was taking the place of the priest. During this tabernacle feast, at this time, going toward the last day, there will always be a priest that stand up. And he would have gone to the pool of Siloam in a gold pitcher, filled it up with water, and he come back to the temple and he poured out on the altar, and he would say, this is what the prophet Ezekiel saw. And that's the way that they would do it on the last day. He would say, hey, this is what the prophet Ezekiel saw, Ezekiel 47 chapter. But it wasn't what Ezekiel saw. He thought, you know, because it was healing in the pool of Siloam, and, you know, he poured out on the altar. And from time to time, Jesus would sit and allow them to do that. Because his death was so near, he had to release this. He just wasn't standing up. Let me tell you, anything to be done on the earth has to be released here first, with us saying, because this is how the world was created. We have to release it. And Jesus was so close to death now, you know, so he stood up and cried. He took the priest's place. And indeed, he was a priest. And he stood up and he cried out. And this is what he cried. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Come unto me and drink. And you know, those people were looking at him like, what is wrong with him? Come unto me and drink. This man has not only, they were plotting on When we read further down, they plotted on, hey, we need to throw this man, so we need to kill him now. Come unto me and drink. We're seeing this river that Ezekiel saw. We're seeing it here again in the seventh chapter. And he's saying, he said, he that believeth on me, you got to believe on me as the scripture. You were letting them know, you got to believe on me as the scripture. Many wasn't believing on him as the scripture had said. They were believing that was Mary's child and not Joseph. And you know how folks talk like that, you know. Because she was pregnant before they, you know. So they were believing that. That's how they believed he was from Galilee. They believed, I mean, they didn't see him. Some of them saw him. They said, you know, when he teach different. He don't teach like the Pharisees. And it's something about it. Maybe he's just a prophet, you know. But he said, he that believeth on me as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Everywhere this water go, it'll get life and abundance. It'll flow. But this he spake, what was he speaking of? He said, but this he spake of the Spirit, which they believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Was not yet given. Why you get up there and offer it if it's not yet given? Because he had to release it on the earth. He had to release it so it would be done. And he was offering this to thirsty people, not to everybody. One of the requirements is that you had to be thirsty because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, when they heard this saying of truth, this is the prophet. Others said, it may be the Christ, but some said, Christ can't come out of Galilee. Has not the scripture said that Christ comes out of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where they would. So here in the, what did that verse say? So they were a division among the people because of him. I mean, someone was ready to just get rid of him. I mean, he just think too much of himself, you know? To stand and say, hey, come drink from me. We see this river that Ezekiel saw. This is the river that Ezekiel saw. Now, I told you it's at different periods and different times. See, some people are just waiting on the millennium, and they say, oh, that's a millennium time. That's prophecy for the millennium. No, it's every thousand that he measured. It was a different period in time. And we see in our time that we've got this river on the inside of us. What are we going to do? Are we going to let it flow out? I didn't finish Ezekiel over here. It said it's going to flow to nations, and it's going to flow out to people, and it's going to bring many fish, many souls, and I didn't finish reading Ezekiel like I wanted to, because I am apostle. Can I have three more minutes? Just three more minutes. He said it was going to flow, and Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is going to flow out of us. The church is going to get to drinking so. She's going to get so full until she's going to have an overflow, an outpouring.
Yeah.
See, revival is not going to come from up there. It's going to come out of here.
Yeah.
Out of the river. We already got the river on the inside. We just need to do some drinking. You came this morning to drink. Just do some drinking. That's where it's coming out of. It's coming out of people that would do some drinking and let this flow come out of there. The river is building. And Ezekiel saw this. And one of the things the man that was married said, when they could not cross over, could not swim, he said, did you see that? He let him look way down in our generations, in the end time generation. Ezekiel like, yeah, I saw that. Whoa. And he got happy. He said, now I can put you back on the brink. Because you can just keep, this was a refresher.
Yeah.
People, when you get into the presence of God in that river, it's a refresher for you too. Yeah, it's for ministry. When you get ready to let it flow out of you, it's for ministry. But while you in there, baby, it's going to help you too.
Yeah.
You're in the presence of Almighty God. You're in a river. Hallelujah, Lord. And you don't have to stay ankle deep. It's time out for us paddling in the water. That's for kids. You know they have that little kiddie pool? Get out the kiddie pool. Okay, can I do the well? Y'all just have to forgive me.
They waded in the water.
That's good, Terry. That's a good one. Apostle, come on. I won't do today, but we got to do because do is very good. We're going to find out some things about do. Hashapakia. See, these things are still active in us today.
That's right.
Revival is coming out of here, people.
That's right.
We got the river in here. Uh-huh. And you are the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And see, Ezekiel saw it coming out of a temple, and he saw it coming from the throne. Mm-hmm. It's coming from the throne of God, and he recognized this river is the source of God. It's coming from we've got the river.
Mm-hmm.
Ezekiel saw the river, but we have the river.
Amen.
And it will flow like it flowed on the day of Pentecost. Mm-hmm. When those saints got together and they was praying and they were just doing what God told them to do. Mm-hmm. And they got on that one accord, and the Holy Ghost came. Mm-hmm. He didn't come in a little trickle. But he came in an outpour.
Yeah.
And they had blood. They had to take it abroad. They had to go outside with it, you know.
Yeah.
We got to go outside. But when you go outside, you got to have something to give the people.
Uh-huh.
Hallelujah.